Good morning. Good morning. Men, at this point in our history, the options in Iraq carry great danger. Great danger. Strategically, withdraw U.S. troops and quickly court chaos, the White House warns. Send more troops to secure Baghdad and overstrain our U.S. military, the Army says. Appeal to Iran for help and hear demands that Washington, in turn, ease its objections to Tehran's nuclear program, the State Department says. Divide Iraq into autonomous regions and give al-Qaeda terrorists a safe haven in Sunni territory. All dangerous options. Tactically, we're in a guerrilla war. No front, no movement of troops in one direction. Insurgents pop up, they kill, they maim, they loot, and they disappear. The IEDs, the improvised explosive devices, kill American soldiers and Marines every week. Just last night, I heard of a man, captain in the Army. He was about to come home. The next day, was killed. One reporter put it this way: anybody can get injured in Iraq, he said, and you try not to think about it all the time. Iraq is a very dangerous situation. Open your scriptures with me this morning to the 6th chapter of Matthew. For you new guys, we've been studying the Lord's Prayer. It's been called the Lord's Prayer for so long, we won't argue with it. A lot of people say, well, it's not really the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer. But let's just call it the Lord's Prayer because everybody else does. Why make that an issue? Men, the last thing that the Lord teaches us to pray for in this prayer in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 14, the last thing is for protection. Now, why do you pray for protection? Why would you pray for protection? Because we're in a very dangerous situation. He says, verse 9, this is how you should pray. This then is how you should pray. The disciples came and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He says, okay, this then is how you should pray. And today, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Of course, when you pray in humility and you acknowledge dependence on the Lord because we're in a fight that cannot be fought with human weapons. So you acknowledge your dependence on the Lord. The evil one, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Man, he's too clever. You try to take him on yourself, you're going to get in trouble. He's called many things in the Bible, is he not? Jesus refers to him in the 8th chapter of John as the father of lies. Now, what is the biggest lie that Satan perpetrates on this whole world of ours? What's the biggest lie? Huh? Man, you have nothing to be concerned about eternally. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Enjoy it. Don't get too serious about all this stuff. Just get religious. Just get busy. But don't worry about it. You don't really have an issue eternally. there's not really a war on for the hearts and minds of men. That's his biggest lie. He's called the angel of light. Paul refers to him as the angel of light. He masquerades as enlightenment, deeper insights. He has deeper insights. What did he say to Adam and Eve? They came to him, they said, you know, the Lord told us we're not supposed to do that. Take the apple and eat it. If we do, we'll die. You shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. God doesn't want you to be enlightened because your eyes will open and you'll be like God. Let me ask you something. How many men in this room are going to die someday? Huh? What's the ratio? He's described as subtle and clever, a schemer. It's guerrilla warfare, men. No frontal assault. He gets you where you think you're strong. Now, you know the story about the Apostle Paul. Paul had some kind of a malady. Nobody's sure what it is. One conjecture is that it was an eye malady, and it deformed him. And it made him, he called it a thorn in the flesh. And he pleaded with the Lord. He pleaded with the Lord, take this away from me. Three times, he says, in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. You know, I'm a missionary. I'm out talking to people about you, and people they have a problem looking at me, which is the one theory. That's a handicap, is it not? You know what Jesus said to him? Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Wow. Just the opposite, men, of what we think. You want to be an effective missionary? You got to be a celebrity, right? You got to get that PhD. You got to get out there and mesmerize people. No, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Just the opposite of what we're taught, right? Men, the word Satan, in its essence, means adversary. It's adversary. Remember Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan? Well, it's when Peter was opposing what Jesus understood to be his Father's will for his life. Peter said, that'll never happen to you. Get behind me, Satan. See, it's adversarial to the will of God. Satan is against everything that God is for. And what's God for, basically? What's he for? Life. I came that they might have life and have it to the full. He's all about life. Satan's agenda, death. Death. His whole strategy is evil, diabolical. He has a strategy. Did you know that? And you know what a strategy is? The macro. He systematically tries to get us to love this wonderful world that God has given us. He systematically tries to get us to love that and not the one who gave us the world. And we're vulnerable to this system, this systematic assault on us, because we're sinful. We're sinful and easily faked out without the Lord's protection. And that's why we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, how do we fight? Our part. John writes at the end of the New Testament, when he's an old man, almost 100 years old, he says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." It's a point, it's a matter of affection. The first thing, if you want to fight, you want to get in this war, you want to come off the bench, is you decide whose side you're on. Men, and the battle is for keeps, life or death, no neutral ground. That's the first thing. You decide whose side you're on. Next, you have to know the terrain. If you don't know the Bible, it's as simple as that. You don't know the context, you don't know the terrain, and what's going to happen? If you don't get God's perspective on things, you won't be in the fight, or you'll fight the wrong battles. Where does God want you to fight? Men, you have to know the Bible, and that takes a lifetime, and it's never too late to start. It's never too late to start. Now, here are the enemy's tactics. So that's the global thing. You got to know the Word of God. You've got to know the will of God. Now, here is his tactics. Comes at us three ways. First way, he takes advantage of what the Bible calls the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Sexual temptation, anger, drinking and eating too much. We got saved at our house. Dan and Kelly Gardner gave us a big tin of these wonderful cookies. And thank God our 21-year-old son and his girlfriend over a couple of days ate them all. I mean, people talk about willpower. I don't believe in that. I believe it's around. I'm going to find it, you know. I know where every bad thing to eat in the house is. I'll find it. What's the strategy? God tells us to flee. Flee youthful lusts. Don't get around it. Stay away from things that are not right for you. So we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You acknowledge this, that you've got this tendency. You younger guys, we got a few single guys here. Flee youthful lusts. Don't get into situations where you're going to get stimulated outside of marriage. Don't do it. Because he's trying to kill you. Everything you do premaritally will mitigate the joy you will have when you get married. That's the truth. Protect me, Lord. Protect me. I'm dependent on you. Give me the power to do this. Lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? God can't tempt us. God would never tempt us, right? So what are we saying to him? Lord, keep us out of trouble. Keep us from the devil's assault. I can't control my temper. Lead me not into temptation. Give me more margin in my life so I don't fly off the handle so quickly. All these things go together. The next strategy takes advantage of our vulnerability, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. We want what we don't have. We're covetous. We're not looking to God to meet our needs. God gives contentment, right? Paul writes, godliness with contentment is great gain. Why is it such great gain? Godliness with contentment is great. Why is it such great gain? You can't get it without God. Satan, through the world system, says, just a little more. Just a little more. I was with a man this week, actually, came up from Florida. I worked with him for 3 days. And we talked about capping his lifestyle. He's exhausted. He's exhausted trying to get a little more. I said, why don't you and your wife talk about capping your lifestyle and start to relax a little more and enjoy life? You know, I charge for that kind of advice. Or it leads you into unmanageable debt, which leads to death. One guy told me he walks around all day long with this big green cloud over his head. That's the way he's living. Money is supposed to be a source of joy. For him, it's a curse. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The other vulnerability, men, lastly, is called the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The world of pretense, of celebrity, keeping up with the Joneses, without the Lord's protection, again, in a love relationship with Him, we become proud and ostentatious. I want to be somebody. And let me just say this, men. If you know the Lord, if you're saved, if you're forgiven of your sins, if you are His child, Willie, adopted into His family, it doesn't get any better than that. Amen? All right. Pleasing Him now becomes our focus. To please the Lord, which is what we're studying at our table. How to please God. You know, He's your Father. You want to please Him. The challenge today, men, remember, we are in a very dangerous war with very high stakes. Pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen? Let's have prayer this morning. Oh, Lord. Here we are in this public restaurant talking about the war that's on for the hearts and minds of people. We'll walk out of here. We won't hear a word about it all day, probably. Thank you for this privilege, as Willie's prayed this morning for, this privilege we have to meet and to encourage one another and to provoke one another to love and good works. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.